The Deconstructor by Josiah J. Smith. He fell from space one day. No one knew he was coming. No one knew he came. All they knew was that a bright meteor fell from space and landed somewhere in the Arizona desert. I was walking home from the planetarium without a care in the world. It was a sunny day. The birds were chirping. Everyone was smiling. I decided to go to the park on such a cheerful day. Little did I know how my life was about to change. There was an old tree in the park. It had stood there for over 100 years. But everyone and everything gets old eventually, and that day was to be the big, old, heavy tree's breaking point. I somehow failed to notice a strange man in a trench coat. Unaware of the man, I walked toward the tree. But that was the moment the tree cracked and started to fall toward me. Even as I am recounting my adventure, my heart is beating quickly. If the man had not been there, I would not be here to tell this tale. But as the tree fell toward me, the strange man leapt in front of me. He clasped his hands like he was praying, touched his fingertips together, and then suddenly pulled them apart. Immediately, the world became a blur. The tree seemed to splinter apart into hundreds of pieces that hung in the air. Then the man waved his hands, and what had been the tree suddenly reformed into water. As the water crashed to the ground, the man grabbed my hand. People were whispering. "You had better come with me," he said in a hushed tone. He pulled me into an alleyway. "What you did is impossible," I cried. "No human can do that." "Did it occur to you," he replied, "that I may not be a human?" He continued when I made no answer. "I came from my planet to save yours, because of a certain asteroid that will hit your planet." "Do you mean the asteroid scientists call Tyson? Because it's supposed to just pass by Earth. I should know. I love astronomy." "Supposed to?" "Yes." "Will it?" "No." "Now I'm sure you have lots of questions. It's not safe to talk here. We need to go to your house." I didn't know how long I would be able to keep from asking him something. "Just one question," I begged as we walked to my house. "What is your name?" He thought for a minute. "I believe that in your language I would be called Deconstructor." "Yes, that's it." The walk to my house didn't take long. Thankfully, my parents weren't home. The Deconstructor standing in the living room might have been hard to explain. I finally had a chance to get a good look at him. He wasn't very old, perhaps in his late 20s or early 30s. He was tall, but kind of thin. He looked human, despite my beliefs of him being an alien. "Who are you?" I asked immediately. "What did you do to that tree? And why did you come to my house instead of telling me this stuff back at the park?" "I'm not telling you what I did to the tree, and I'm not telling you who I am. I came to your house to talk to you in private. I can't let you tell everyone what happened. If everyone knew about me, the military would take me into custody and study me. I couldn't save your world, and I couldn't go back home." "Excuse me?" I exclaimed. "You saved me, and it sounds like you're a real alien." "I didn't want anyone to be involved," the Deconstructor said. "We shouldn't have met." I was exasperated. "So you save my life, come to my house, and tell me nothing." A look of annoyance appeared on his face. Then, instead of answering me, he just pushed past me and walked out the door. "Come back," I shouted after him. But he didn't come back. He kept walking. So I walked after him. "Why are you running from everything?" I yelled after him. "What are you so afraid of?" He didn't answer. He was walking faster than I was, and before long I had lost sight of him. I went around a corner and saw him face to face with a police officer. I recognized him. It was Officer McDonald. He was talking to the deconstructor. "I don't remember you," he said. "And in a town this small, you remember everyone. Come to think of it, you look kind of strange," he said in a questioning tone. This was the deconstructor's greatest fear. If Officer McDonald realized that something was up, then he would be taken away and he wouldn't be able to save the world. I had to do something. I walked up to the two of them. "Excuse me," I said, "but Uncle Charles and I were just going for a walk. He arrived a few days ago." "Oh," Officer McDonald said. "Well, if he's from out of town, no wonder I don't recognize him. I'll let you be on your way, then." I couldn't be sure, but I thought I saw the deconstructor mouth, "Thank you," at me. Soon we were back at my house. Strangely, the deconstructor seemed kinder now than he had been before. "I promise to answer your questions now," he said quietly. "Who are you?" I asked earnestly. "What did you do to that tree?" "One question at a time, please," he exclaimed. "I suppose I will explain everything to you in order. I'm from another planet. I saw that your planet was in danger. I came here to help. I arrived in the desert a couple days earlier than expected, so I wandered into the park. Does that help?" "Yes," I answered. "And this is exciting. I always hoped aliens existed. But it doesn't clarify enough. What did you do to that tree, and how did you do it?" The deconstructor shrugged. "I just rearranged the tree's atoms. It's as simple as that." "How?" I pressed him. He sighed. "I have the ability to rearrange atoms in solid and liquid objects. I took the hydrogen and oxygen from the tree and turned them into water. Then, having little time to think, I randomly scattered the other elements. And before you ask, I can see the look on your face telling me you're not satisfied. I will tell you how I rearrange atoms." "You witnessed me do this," he said, clasping his hands. "I could explain it as likening my hands to the atoms. They're stuck together. Then I unclasp my hands and touch my fingertips. I have loosened the atoms. I then pull my hands apart. That allows me to pull the atoms apart and rearrange them. I am confined to the elements in the object, however." Instantly, a lamp on a nearby table broke apart, just like the tree had. The deconstructor waved his hands around, and the atoms moved accordingly. He then clapped his hands, and the lamp reformed. "But why?" I asked. "Why are you doing this? What have we done for you? Why did you save me instead of staying hidden?" He sighed. "I don't expect you to understand, but it brings me joy to see that I've helped people." I nodded. "I understand. Helping people brings joy. That's how it works, I think. But one more question. Why are you telling me this now when you weren't before?" The deconstructor smiled warmly. "I've realized that you can't always go through life on your own," he said. I smiled back and offered him some dinner. "Let's see what I have today," I murmured to myself. I opened the fridge. Ugh, tuna salad. I turned to the deconstructor. Can't you change it into something else? I asked nervously. No, he replied. I'd really rather not. Why? I asked. Well, he said, this is kind of embarrassing, but I can only rearrange 5 items while on your world. It's due to the atmosphere. Anyway, I've done 3 so far, and I have at least 1 more to go. I really don't want to run out. Now, he said in an authoritarian tone, turn on the news. I leapt up to turn on the news, wondering if he knew something I didn't. I saw live footage of a rocket launching. This probe, launching from the ISS, will send weather satellites to Mars, the news anchor said. The probe soared up into space. Suddenly, something appeared in the picture. What's this? The anchor exclaimed. I'm being told it's the asteroid Tyson. The anchor's voice was a mixture of disbelief and amazement. It wasn't supposed to take this course. My face turned white. I suddenly realized what was happening. I watched the probe graze the asteroid. Now let's consult our scientists to see how the asteroid has changed course, the anchor said. This asteroid is very large, the scientist said. It's one of the largest asteroids ever to land on Earth, and our estimates have it crashing near the Grand Canyon in 1 hour. The impact will likely affect all of Arizona, and quite possibly the area around it. Everyone in the following areas, please evacuate. I looked at the list. Something had to be done to save people's lives. I looked at the deconstructor. I've been thinking of what I'm going to do with the asteroid, he said. Don't you have a plan? I asked. This is kind of embarrassing, but I didn't have a plan. I forgot to look before you leap. Just like when I saved you in the park. I saw that there was trouble and came. I know I'll need to use my powers, but I'm not sure specifically how. I was speechless for a moment. Couldn't you do what you did earlier? I finally asked. Scatter the elements? Heavens no, the deconstructor replied. There wasn't much to scatter in the tree. But this asteroid is huge. There's no telling what scattering all those elements could do. It's not safe. What elements are in the asteroid? I asked. Hydrogen, oxygen, carbon? I thought for a moment. Like the tree you saved me from in the park? The deconstructor smiled. I see what you're thinking, he said. Hopefully it'll work. We got to the bottom of the Grand Canyon with 15 minutes to spare. Maybe it's just me, I said, but it seems like you were reluctant for me to help you. That's because I was, he replied. You see, I loved helping people back home, but there was a, well, let's just call it an incident. The point is, I was afraid you might get hurt. Oh, I said. Well, I'm sorry I had you worried. But I do have a question. Turning the asteroid into water isn't going to solve all our problems. You'll still have to scatter some elements, right? Wrong, the deconstructor said, smiling. I hope you paid attention in chemistry class. There's going to be lots of leftover carbon. What's in coal? Carbon, I replied. So you're just going to make a big lump of coal in the middle of the lake? Wrong again, he said. I decided to do something a little nice for you humans. What happens when coal is under extreme heat and pressure? It turns into diamond, I exclaimed. The heat from the asteroid burning up in the atmosphere together with the pressure from the impact, will turn the coal into diamond. Exactly. Now I'd stand back if I were you, the deconstructor warned me. The asteroid would have collapsed the canyon walls. This won't be as big as the asteroid, but it will still be a lot of water. I jogged back for a ways. It was completely dark. Suddenly, I saw a light in the sky. It came closer. I was shocked at how big the asteroid was. I saw the deconstructor off in the distance, but he was too far away for me to see his movements. The asteroid shattered into millions of pieces and was reformed into water. The lump of coal was visible in the middle of the water. Suddenly it occurred to me. The deconstructor was directly under where the water would land. But before it hit the ground, I saw a flash of light where he was standing. The water came crashing to the ground, forming a giant lake. The noise was incredible. I ran up to the lake, my heart beating loudly. My eyes scanned the surface of the water, but I saw nothing except for the diamond sparkling in the middle of the lake. I never found him. No one did. And as I write this account of my adventure, I gaze up into the starry sky and wonder, what happened to him? Did he go back to his world? If so, I can only wonder when he will be back. But even if he isn't, I know that knowing he saved the world would bring him joy. The end.